Beruchim Abayim Rabotai, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying tonight Perashat Mishpatim. Our Perashah begins the subject of the dinim, the laws. Our Perashah alone has 54 dinim, 54 mitzvot that should be taken seriously, because in the whole book of Bereshit there's only 3 mitzvot. And here in one Perashah we have a great level of mitzvot, great amount of mitzvot. And hence the name of the Perashah, Perashat Mishpatim. As an introduction to tonight's class, I want to read to you the language of Rabbeinu Yonah on his commentary to the Pirkei Avot. I know it's not Pirkei Avot season, but it's okay, it won't hurt us to learn a little Pirkei Avot. The first Mishnah, Pirkei Avot, the men of the great assembly instruct us. 3 instructions. Tonight I want to talk about the first instruction, which means it's the first lesson in the whole Pirkei Avot. Hem amru shelosha devarim. Number 1, hevu metunim badin, which literally means when it comes to the deen, when it comes to the law, you should be patient, you should be deliberate, you should go slow, don't rush in the law. Hevu metunim badin. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Ve'atam al ma she'amru badin, kedei lehazhir yoter al adinim mishar horaot, shehen ikar gadol bi'idi'at ha'borei yitbarach. Which means, if the whole purpose that we came into this world is to emulate God, to be like Borei Olam, mahu af'ata, so in order to know Borei Olam's way, the way he thinks, the way he acts, the way he deals with the world, the way you know it is from the dinim, from the laws that God dictates to us. That shows us how he behaves with human beings, and therefore by studying the dinim you get to know who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Lehavdil, I'm going to give you a terrible example, but from the policies of a president, you know exactly which party he belongs to. If he's liberal, then already you assume he's a Democrat. If he's all conservative, you can assume he's a Republican. And even sometimes he could be a socialist or a communist. It depends, again, according to the policies, which means the laws that he introduces tells us about how he thinks. Lehavdil alfei havdalot. If we want to know how Borei Olam thinks, which party does he belong to, so you look at the laws that he legislated, the laws that he passed, the bills that he signed, those are the dinim. From that already you see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. You see the way he looks at the world. And from that, you learn how to be like Borei Olam and how to act towards people. As a matter of fact, that's what the Mishnah meant. Hevu metunim badin. When it comes to studying the dinim, go slow. Study them well. Because you're not just studying laws. Do this, don't do that. This is permissible, this is forbidden. You're studying the wisdom of God. You're studying the policies of God. And therefore you cannot just brush over them. What's the halakha? Mutar, asur, mutar, hayav, zakai, tahor, tameh. No. When it comes to these specific laws in Parashat Mishpatim, that's what Mishnah was referring to. Evu metunim badin. Study them, analyze them, digest them. Let them become part of you. There's a interesting Ibn Ezra. They brought me a Chumash over here that doesn't have Ibn Ezra in it. I'm shocked. From all the other commentaries that they put in it, they didn't put Ibn Ezra. God should forgive them. The Ibn Ezra is in Perek Tetvav Pasuk Chafeh. The pasuk says, "Vayomer, im shamoa tishma lekol Hashem Elohecha." The pasuk says, "If you'll hearken, shamoa tishma. If you'll hearken, if you'll listen, if you'll hear, if you'll comprehend, lekol Hashem Elohecha, to the voice of God." Ibn Ezra writes, "Shekol shemi'a she'acharav lamed obet." Anytime it says the word shamoa, and then it's followed by the letter lamed. For example, im shamoa tishma lekol. En pirush hadavar lishmoa hadavar. It doesn't mean to hear what was said. Because if that was the case, it would say vayomer im shamoa tishma kol. However, rak lehavin ta'am ha'inyan. Le kol means to what's underneath the kol, to what's inside the kol. It's not enough to hear the law; you have to know the spirit of the law. What did Borei Olam mean? What's the intent? Hinezu hashemi'a sheyavin ma mitzuve la'asot vayashar be'einav ta'aseh lehitbonen mahem. The Rabban also says something similar in Devarim, in Perek Vav Pasuk Yudchet. There we have an instruction. The Torah tells us over there, we have a law. Ve'asita hayashar ve'atov. Every Jew has to do what's yashar, which is straight, and tov. How are you going to know what's yashar and tov? So the Rabban writes over here, there's three types of mispot. There's hukim, you have mishpatim, you have edot. Ve'achar she'ezkir she'yishmor she'lokach chalkei ha'mitzvot ha'elu, hezir ala peshara kefi ha'midrash. When it says ve'asita tova yashar, I'm continuing the Ramban. So he says, these are the laws of. Well, I'm not going to fool you. I want you to hear the Ramban's lashon. I want you to read it. So he says like this: Va'asita tova yashar vav yudchet. Oh, I'm in Yudzayin. That's why. Oh, so he says, Chazal lomar bederech klal shiyaseh hatov vayashar bechol davar. It's not enough to keep the mitzvot. You have to study the mitzvot in a way that the mitzvot will bring you to acting in cases that the Torah doesn't talk about. Because the Torah doesn't talk about every scenario. The Torah doesn't talk about every single case. But from the cases that the Torah gives us as examples, you'll know from there what the Torah's opinion is and how to behave and how to negotiate in a situation that's not written. That's why Yevu Meturi Badin. Study the laws, because the laws of the Torah are 613 klalim, the principles. But the principles have many offshoots. Not all the offshoots are written, but if you understand the intent behind the law, and you understand the spirit behind the law, then you'll be able to apply it to the rest of the life. This is what we call the lifestyle of the Torah. Va'asita tova yashar. So, no, that's hukim?
No, that's for poskim, right?
No, wrong.
Extrapolation?
No, you don't have to be a posek. We're not being posek. Dinim mamonot, or ilchot ishut, or choshen mishpat, as I said, or even your edea. Him means studying a pasuk. You don't have to be a posek to study a pasuk. All you have to have is a straight head, and you read the pasukim, like I'm going to show you tonight, and you're going to see the way Borei Olam looks at people, the way he looks at situations. And then once you see that that's Borei Olam's way, va'asita tova yashar, because God is tov v'yashar, then you'll incorporate that brain into your behavior. Which means we don't want you to be molded by the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times or radio or the news, because they also have a certain opinion. Our brain and our mentality must be molded by the Tov VaYashar, which is the Torah. And where is that Tov VaYashar? In the Dinim. When you study the Dinim, in the laws, you see the direction. Say it like this. Every mitzvah is a commandment. If there's a mitzvah, there must be a mitzvah. A mitzvah is a commander. So if you want to understand who the commander is, you understand him through his mitzvot. You understand through his direction, through his directives. Good. Rashi says the beginning of the parasha. You see, that's the lashon here that I was looking for. You know, I'm not going to worry about the tape and all that. The tape doesn't bother me. We're going to go slow. What bothers me that you understand everything correctly. In Perek Vav Yud Chet. I know next week this Chumash is not, I'm not lucky with this Chumash. I hate to tell you. I've been lucky with other Chumashim. Vav Yud Chet. So I want to see that Lashon. The Pasuk is referring to Vasita Yashar Vatov. And then the Ramban is going to tell me the following language. Ah, here it is. Here it is. Veze inyan gadol. Lefi she'i efshar lehazkir b'Torah kol hanhagot ha'adam im shechinav v're'av. Oh, the Torah cannot tell me every single situation, otherwise the Torah will be too heavy to carry. You won't be able to finish every scenario. V'chol masa'o u'matano. Can't give you every case in business. It can't give you every scenario. V'tikuna yeshuv v'amidiniyot, and all the civil law and all the laws of neighbors. Aval acharesh yizkir mehem harbe. The Torah gives you a sampling, and from the sampling, you're able to create now a
black letter law.
Right, a law, an understanding. For example, lo telech rachil. The Torah doesn't want you to slander people. Lo tikom velo titor. Don't take revenge. Don't bear a grudge. Lo ta'amod al dam re'echa. You're not allowed to watch your neighbor drown. Or if he's in a dangerous situation, you have to go out and help him. Lo tekalel cheresh. Mepenei seva takum. V'chei yotzeh. Chazal lomar bederech klal shi'aseh atov hayashar bechol davar. Which means at the end of the day, whatever situation you're in, you're going to have to apply Torah logic to it based on what you know from the dinim. Therefore, the Benu Yonat says the first rule is evu metunim bedin. Go slow. Study each mitzvah to its core, to its root, to know exactly what Borei Olam meant. And once you have all the dinim clear and it's sharp in your brain, then when you're in a situation, you'll be able to make the right decision. How does the Torah want me to act? How does the Torah want me to behave? What's the proper sensitivity? So important is the dinim. Look what Rashi says in the beginning of the parasha. Rashi's bothered, not he's bothered, but the first words of the parasha is Ve'ele HaMishpatim. So that she's bothered with the Vav. Ve'ele. And these are the Mishpatim. So that she says, oh, we have a rule. Anytime it says the word Vav, and it's coming to say, not only what I said above, but it's continuation. Ve'ele. What's the connection? So that she says, Ma'arishonim misinai af elu misinai. Oh. Just like the Ten Commandments were given at Sinai, so too these Mishpatim that we're going to read now were also given at Sinai. Hazak HaBaruch, the Torah was given at Sinai. Hiddush, what is Hashi telling me? This was given at Sinai. And the rest of the mitzvot were not given at Sinai? Where was it given? So I would direct you to a rabbi called the Re'em, Be'eliyahu Mizrahi, that explains to Hashi what he means. The Re'em, not the Be'eliyahu Mansur, that's a different Re'em. The Re'em says the following. You know what it means? It was given on Sinai. And I quote, "Bekolot ubrakim, ubefne am ve'eda." That means when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the law, he gave the Ten Commandments, then he went back up for 40 days, and then he came down with the rest of the law. Matan Torah, that dramatic event where there was thunder and there was lightning and there was 3 million people standing at the foot of the mountain, that was Ten Commandments. Oh, and you know what else? The Dinim. Which means what it says in this week's parasha, Kol almana lo te'anun, don't torture or don't make hardship to a widow. That was said with the Kolot Ubrakim. When it says in the parasha, lo tebashel gedi b'halev immo, don't have milk and meat. That was said at this moment over here. Whatever's in Parashat Mishpatim, whatever you're going to use, the 54, the magic 54, the end of Mishpatim, ma hem b'sinai, af elu b'sinai. Meaning, during Matan Torah, on Vav Sivan, on the day we received the Torah, on that day, Borei Olam gave us these laws, because that's integral. Because from these laws, you get to understand what Kadosh Baruch Hu is. That's where the Yidi'ah is. So now we can begin the Parashah. Evu Meturim Badin, go slow. Each one we have to digest. The first law is Ki Tikne Evid Evri. Amazing law. Torah says you're going to buy for yourself an Evid Evri, a slave. He's Jewish. How does a Jew become a slave? So the Torah says he stole money. He was a poor man. He didn't have a job. After he stole money, they told him, you have to pay. I don't have money to pay. He already spent the money. So the Torah says he has to sell himself into slavery in order to work, in order to pay it back. So now the Torah goes through a whole law, and there's a whole perek in Masechet Kiddushin that's dedicated to the laws of Eved Evri. And the Torah comes along and says, number one, Rambam writes, the way you sell an Eved Evri is not like you sell an Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani, a goy, you sell him in the marketplace. Eved Evri is sold b'tzina'ah, because he's Jewish. Aye, but he's a ganav, he's a crook, he's a gangster, he's a criminal. But the Torah has rahmanut, even on a person that committed a crime, and therefore we're not allowed to embarrass him. The sale is done low-key. It's not done on the open market, on the slave market. Haramam says it's done b'sin'ah. Furthermore, once you buy him, you're not allowed to tell him to do any work that is menial or beneath his dignity. That means, I own the guy, I bought him. Take out the garbage. No, that's not nice. You don't tell the Eved to take out the garbage. So what do I get the Eved for then? No, you have to take out the garbage. Oh, but do me a favor, I'm going to the bathhouse, to the hammam. Here's my bag, and my towel, and my sneakers, or whatever it is. Do me a favor, carry it for me. No, that's bazooey, the Rambam says. That's not nice. You let another Jew carry your clothes to the... So then what do you do? Then what can we do? Now, every item that I have to tell the Eved, I have to say, when I do such a thing, it's beneath it. But it's Eved. To the extent... The Gemara says on the Pasuk, V'tov no'imach, that you have to give the Eved the best of the luxuries that you have. You have a comfortable pillow, you have to give him the same level pillow. And if you only have one pillow, it's Masra from the Rambam, he gets the pillow, you sleep like Cha'be'av. You have steak. Beautiful steak. And you have Jadra in the refrigerator. You eat them Jadra, you give them the steak. Yaivid! He's a Gannav! Which means, really, where's the guy supposed to be? He's supposed to be in Rikers Island, this guy. He's supposed to be in prison. He's supposed to be in Pelican Bay. But what? The Torah says, what is he going to do in Pelican Bay? All he's going to be is with more Gannavim. And what's going to end up happening? Pelican Bay is a school for Gannavim. It's a university of thieves. And therefore he's going to only come out with more tricks and more ways to steal from the people. Therefore the Torah says, you know what? What's the best way we can rehabilitate this Eved? Put put him in a Jewish home. Let him be influenced by good religious people. Let them see how the Adon treats him. And what's the Eved doing? He's learning. Look at me. I had no respect for people. I had no respect for their property. And here he sees the Adon. No, no, you take the pillow. What? You hold of me so much, I should take the pillow. You're going to sleep on the floor? Yes, absolutely. What does that do to the self-esteem of the Eved? I'm important. I'm special. What does it do to his psyche when he finally goes free? Now he sees another human being in the street. He remembers how they treated him. And therefore the Torah system is such a soft system and such a respectful system, even for the ganav. To the extent the Gemara says, "Kula kone eved evri la'atzmo, ke kone adon la'atzmo." Anybody that buys a Jewish slave, you're buying a master for yourself. Because now, he rules you. You have to treat him so good, so it's like you brought a master into your house. So what do you see? You see the, now let's get to the spirit of it. The spirit of the law teaches us, number one, the Torah's rahmanut, even for people that committed averot. And the Torah tells us what? You have to treat them just as much like you have to treat everybody else. Even though he's your Eved, but still doesn't mean you could mistreat him in such a way. What does this teach you? You have a Jewish worker. You're paying him. A Jewish worker, by the way, is not an Eved. An Eved is much more severe. Just because you're paying somebody to do a job, how careful you have to be, that doesn't give you a right to embarrass him. That doesn't give you a right to tell him to do things that are beneath his dignity, that normally you wouldn't do yourself, or it's not for his dignity, that he wouldn't do. You're not allowed to mistreat him verbally and abuse him just because you're paying him. That's the spirit of the law. Now don't come and tell me, no, but that's evidently, this is a worker. Learn from what's written, and then apply the logic to what's not written. I told you I was once by a house. One of the boys in the community, today Baruch Hashem, he's older, he's married, he was still young. And I'm learning with him, and he dials on his cell phone, he has a phone you can call downstairs, and he's telling the servant, bring me up one of these and two of those and three of these, wants some food and a drink, but he was talking very, very arrogant. So when he hung up the phone, I said, Yosef, they don't talk like that to the help. You say, Derecheres, please, can you, if you have a minute, hey, you're screaming like that? You're a little kid, what are you screaming at the help like that? So he looks at me like I'm from Mars. He says, no, Hakam, you don't understand. We pay them. Wait a minute. So I told the boy, I said, you're scaring me. He says, why am I scaring you? I said, because you pay me also. So, well, I'm not no different. That's the rule. Anybody that you pay is a afar va'efer. Anybody that you pay is dirt, is garbage, they give you a right. So again, I have to be careful what I'm going to say now. This is religion. Religion is not only the ceremony, coming to shul, shaking like a lulav and the amidah, reading Sefer Torah, putting on Tefillin, Nashir, Benutam, Shemusha Rabba, ritual, ceremonies. A person can be very pious in synagogue. But if he goes to work, and he mistreats his workers, and he's abusive, so then already, you're not Yashar, and you're not Tov. You're a ceremonial Jew. You're a ritualistic Jew. But you're not a Jew that's Yashar and Tov. This is where the Yeshrut comes, this is where the straightness comes from these laws. We go further. This is even a bigger Hiddush. There's a law that says, if a father, let's say, doesn't have money, he has a right to sell his daughter as an Amma Ivriyah. He sells his daughter into slavehood, into Shifhut. It's a terrible thing. Imagine that a father becomes so desperate that the only way he can drum up money and drum up some cash, he has to sell his own daughter. But the Torah gave that permission. Torah says, "V'chi yimkor ish et bito le'ama." What does the Torah say? The master does with this amma. She's a shifha. She works. We know that. But the pasuk says, "Lo yimshol lemochrab bebigdo ba." Rishonim learn bebigdo means libgod. Libgod means to rebel or to betray. The Torah says, "Don't betray her. Don't do something that's not right to her." What do you mean? What am I doing not right? Your father sold her, I bought her, I'm not mistreating her. So the Torah says, you know what it means? Really, the right thing to do with this amma is marry her. The marriage is called Yi'ud, where the master marries the amma Ivriya. This is a 12-year-old girl that comes into the house. Hazita, she has no family. The father got rid of her. She's downtrodden, she's miskeen. The Torah says you have a mitzvah not only to treat her as a worker, marry her. Marry her. And if you don't want to marry her, ve'im libno yi'adena, give it to your son. Imagine the story. Hey, mishpacha, who buys slaves? Rich people. Hashubim. And now, the son's a hashub person. All the shadchanim are calling the boy up. Listen, we have the Rosh Hashiva's daughter. We have this girl, we have that girl. Well, it's not for us, you know, we're Hashub people, we'll see. And all of a sudden, his father comes home. Dad, who's this little girl over here? I bought her in the market today. Bought her in the market? What is she over here? She's Jewish. She's Jewish. She's Amma Adriya. Her father needed money, I bailed him out. She's going to be the new Shifcha in the house. My dear son, maybe it's a good idea you should go out on a few dates with her. Maybe. What? Dad, what are you out of your mind? She's a shifha. You just said she's a shifha. We're not from the shifahot. We're from the givirim. The givirim don't marry into the shifahot. It's beneath our dignity. But the Torah says that's the chesed. Listen to the Lashon Ramban. Ramban says, why look at the Lashon Ramban? Ki mishpat habanot ya'aseh. After you marry her, you or the son, treat her like mishpat habanot. What is mishpat habanot? So he says, "Shpat banot, she yitena mishelo kemo harabetulot." Mohar betulot means you make for her sweni, as we call it. Give her all sorts of gifts before the wedding. She'era kesuta, you have to give her clothes. You have to give her mizonot. You have to spend time with her. So the Ramban writes over here, what's the logic behind this mitzvah called Gi'ud? He says, you know what the logic is? The logic is like this. He says like this. I'll give you his Lashon. I'm not going to rush. I want you to hear. על דרך הפשט ייתכן שיאמר שאם יעדנה קונה לבנו והוא השידוך שידוך שישדכנה לו ייעוד מין זה שידוך ייתן למוער בתולות וסיבה בזה כאשר סיבה בהענקה והכל חסד מאיתו יתעלה. Underline those words. Vehakol Chesed. The Torah is coming to teach you that's how far Chesed has to go. That you have to be willing to give your son to marry the Shifcha. Not for what it's going to do to your son. Even though it teaches a great lesson to your son. We're all equal. There's no such thing just because she had bad luck, just because she's from a poor family, we're from a rich family. So therefore we put ourselves high. No. Adrabah, you marry her and you treat her like a full-fledged, even though she's a shifcha. Yi'ud, the Ramban says, is chesed mi'ito yitale. That's God's chesed. What does this teach me? Generally speaking, when people start to rise on the scale of success, so their peers start to change, their friends start to change as well. When they were simple folk, so they would rub elbows with the bourgeoisie, with the regular people. But now, as they become more hashuv, So therefore, they don't want to be seen with the regular people that they used to associate. Now their nose becomes a little high in the air. And now they can only go with the socialites, and they can only rub elbows with and they wanna, they're climbing a ladder. And all the friends that they used to have, not good enough anymore. Here the Torah teaches us from a spirit of a law. If an Adon is told by God, marry the Shifa, you're not better, she's not worse, do chesed to her, give her gifts, treat her like you treat a regular wife, that teaches us there's no such thing as one Jew better than another because of a social status, because of money, because of power, because of influence. It's such an exaggerated lesson that the Torah is teaching us how far you have to go to elevate the kavod of another Jew, or the more so the downtrodden. V'akol chesed. Listen to another law, a different topic. Our parasha. We'll go one by one. I cannot guarantee you that we're going to get all 54 tonight, but we'll try to get as much as we can. Oh, Torah says, "V'anshei kodesh tehiyun li." We have to be holy. U'basar basadeh terefa lo tochelu. Terefa meat, don't eat it. Or what should I do with it, Hakam? Lekelev tashlichun oto. Throw it to the dog. Now, don't think that the Torah is just exaggerating. Throw it to the dog means throw it in the garbage. No, throw it to the dog is literal. When you have a piece of meat, you check the animal, wasn't kosher. You wish it was kosher. Terefa, I can't eat it. Torah says, we're going to give a special gift to the kelabim, to the dogs. That's his gift. Why? Many reasons were said. I'm going to tell you the reason of the Tosafot. Again, back to my favorite Humash. Oh, they put Tosafot in. Okay. Question is, are we going to find it? I love to read you these words inside, that's why. I can tell it to you about Peh, which I probably will have to. This Hamash has to come with instructions. Now, if you were a Da'at Zekinim, huh? No. This is part of the challenge. If you were a Da'at Zekinim in Bali Tosafot, where would they hide him? They're hiding him. He's not on the page. So I would say, common thinking, I would go look at the back. That's where they would hide him, in the back. After Parashat Pekudeh. So I go to the back, after Parashat Pekudeh, and I'm looking for the Da'at Zekinim Ba'al HaTosafot. Haftara. Okay, a lot of Haftarot. I see Megillat Esther. Beautiful. They went to Purim. Okay, Yirachem Hashem. No. I just love the words of the Rishonim. I know what he says. I can tell it to you in my own words. I don't have a problem. But I love to read the words. The words of the Rishonim are unbelievable. So the Da'at Zekinim says like this. Listen. The dogs are in charge of watching the flock so the wolf or the wolves don't devour the sheep. In the olden days, until today, they use dogs as watchmen. How do I know? 2 weeks ago when I was in Morocco, I'm not going to tell you more scary stories about Morocco. I'll tell you one funny story. We're on the road, we're driving for many hours, so we needed to, we needed to go to the bathroom. So we drove. There's no rest stops over there. There's no exit where there's a Starbucks and a restroom and they don't have that over there. So you drive until you can't drive anymore, and then you stop. So we stopped at a certain field, and whatever happened, all of a sudden, two or three dogs charging us at top speed. So we're calculating from where we're up to over here to what's going on over there, we'll make it. So I asked the guy in the jar, what are these dogs? What do you mean? The dogs, the best shomrim, the best watchmen for the sheep. What are they watching? They're watching from the wolves. They chase wolves because they're very fast, the dog. So they chase the wolves away. And that's what he used to do in the olden days. In Morocco, they're still doing it 3,000 years later. They didn't have a better system, I'm sure. But they're still in the old fashioned. So now, he thought I was a wolf. I wasn't a wolf. What does he want from me? In any event, but what? It seems this animal became a terefa. How did it become a terefa? Because a wolf got to it. That means the dog didn't do its job. If the animal became a terefa, that means it got attacked. And the wolf bit into it and broke one of its bones. But you know what the Tosafot says? Still, he's loyal. He can't have a 100% success rate, the dog. He's a loyal worker. Most of the time he succeeds. He protects your flock. Hakarat hatov. Being gracious to him. And therefore, you have to show gratitude. You can't be an ingrate. And therefore, I see from this what a spirit the Torah is telling me. I have to show gratitude to the dog. Why do I have to show gratitude? Because he failed. This is a failure. I mean, by giving him the terefa, you caused the terefa. You good for nothing. You killed. Your job was to protect that there's no terefot. Now there's a terefa. I would tell you, you know what? No dinner for you this week. Ta'anit shom avim. You're not eating this week. Teach him a lesson. Oh, you teach him a lesson like that. He'll never make another mistake for the rest of his life. Torah says, no, don't be like that. Listen, he's your shomer. He does a job. You don't pay him. How do you pay him? Give him the terefa. Be generous with him. That's the spirit of the law. Hakarat hatov to the dog. Maybe you could learn from here. La'avdil, again, la'avdil, the Lord. That if your wife brings you dinner to the table, that maybe you have to say thank you. No, the Torah said only dogs, Rabbi. No, that you need, like you said, I'm not a posek. You have to be a posek. We don't know. Don't extrapolate now. Don't start learning Gezerot Shavot. Torah says it where it says it. But you see that like that. You see again such a sensitivity. Ad kedei kach, the Torah wants you to show gratitude to an animal that failed you. But because it was loyal to you for so many other instances, kol sheken, gratitude to our she'ero, to our basar, to our own flesh and blood. We go further. Lo tebashel gedi b'halev immo. Don't cook or eat milk and meat. Why? We thought hawk, when it's hawk, I don't know why. Milk and meat, why not? The milk is halav Yisrael. The basar, glad, bet Yosef, everything good. Individually, I could eat each one. Putting it together, Torah says, no, don't do that. It's not good. Why not good? Health reasons? The Torah is not only going to tell us things of health reasons. And if the New England Journal of Medicine tells me that the healthiest thing for you is to eat milk and meat, we're still not going to eat it. So it's not a health issue. So what's the reason? So listen to the Lashon of the Ibn Ezra. Mind-boggling. Can I have to read it from here? Because he didn't give me the Ibn Ezra. No, I'm not going to give up with this from my... Oh, listen to what he says. Lashon Ibn Ezra. Ulay haya. Maybe we could say, ki achzariyut lev, it's cruelty, lebashel hagedi im halev immo. The Torah's literal case is, don't eat or cook the goat, tebashel gedi, in its mother's milk. What does that mean you're doing? You're slaughtering the child and you're taking milk from the mother and you're putting it together. The Ramban or the Ibn Ezra says that's cruelty. Why? So he says, Kederech veshor oseh oto ve'et beno lo tishchatu. Just like the Torah says, you're not allowed to slaughter an animal and its son on the same day. Why? Too much cruelty. Why destroy the whole family in one day? So similarly, the Torah is so sensitive, we don't want you to eat the son in its mother's milk, no less. You killed the kid, you took the mother's milk. Either you slaughtered her and took the milk, or you just got the... It's too cruel. You destroyed the whole family. You're putting them together, no less. So he writes, ومنهاج ربع أدم شئن لهم صن. Most people don't have sheep. ويكنوا حلب بشوك. They buy the milk from the market. وحلب يمؤساف مسيوت ربوت. The milk comes from many sheep. ولا يكون هجدي. Maybe now when he's going to go to the butcher to buy the meat, لو يدا أنا إمه. He doesn't know where the mother is. Vine in kana halav ula yesbo mechalav ema gedi shekana v'yeh ovel. Amazing. We're worried that you're going to buy milk from the dairy guy. The milk is made from 30 sheep, maybe. Who knows how many sheep are in the milk? They don't tell you. Oh, now I go to the butcher and I say, you know what? I want a good piece of meat. What type of meat? Give me gedi meat. Oh, gedi. Now I go home, and they're both in my refrigerator. Oh, and the Gedi says, oh, I smell my mother's milk over there. That's right next to me. That's my mother's milk in there. Oh, it's possible that you're going to buy the meat that's the child of the mother's milk, and if you're going to put it together, so therefore the Torah says, you know, we're not taking the risk. Don't take the risk. Even if you bought the milk in China, and you bought the meat in Halab, we don't know, don't get involved with it. Why? He says, V'chol safek shu min ha-Torah l'chumra. It's a safek from the Torah, we have to be mahmir, because you never know, maybe they're related. And if they're related, it's cruelty. Afra le-pumayu. To the ASPCA, Afra le Pumayu, to PETA, and all these animal activist groups, they think they have Rahmanut for animals. They think that they've reached the epitome of what does it mean not to be cruel to an animal. Could you have more sensitivity than this? That they're eating cheeseburgers. Oh, maybe the cheese came and l'chpat lahem. The main thing is to have a cheeseburger with a milkshake, no less. Ah, but maybe they're related. See, eating the kid with the mother's milk, the same meal? Who cares? $1.99, who cares? And our Torah comes along and says, that's cruelty. No, we don't do that. It's akhzariyut. And it'll lead to a bad nature. You understand what does it mean, a deen? Who would dream of such a sensitivity? Cruelty to animals means don't shoot it mad. Cruelty to animals means, you know, don't starve it. But I shouldn't eat milk and meat together because it's a cruelty to what? It's not nice. Not nice to what? And I can't even buy them, the Ibn Ezra says, because maybe a long shot, they're related. Safek, safek doraita lechumra. Shtabach shem on ahad. Next one. The next deen. Lo ta'ale b'ma'alot ha-mizbechi. Asher lo tegale arvatecha alav. This is an interesting mitzvah. It says, you're not allowed to put steps going up to the mizbeach. Going up to the mizbeach, it has to be a ramp. The Kohen walks up a ramp. Why can't you put steps? So she says, "Asher lo tegale ervatecha," because if you're going to put steps, the nakedness of the kohen might be revealed to the step. What does it mean? Shal yedei ma'alot ata tzarich la'archiv pesi'otcha. On a step, what do? You have to move your feet to the next step, 1 foot, right? And sometimes you jump 2-3 steps at a time. What happens? Your feet now are separated. the Kohen used to wear a dress, not a dress, a tunic. And what's going to happen when he's going to separate his leg so the step can see under the tunic of the Kohen? So what's under the tunic? Mechnasayim, his pants. Yeah, but the Torah says that's Irva already. It's not nice that you should reveal yourself. Reveal what self? It's pants. Mechnasayim. Still, it's under the clothes, but not nice that a step should... Look at this here. Now we have to start a new group. We have the cruelty to steps. The steps union. Now we have a new government agency. They're going to come to the synagogue and see how we're treating the steps. What does this mean over here? So the Rashi comes along and says, "Vared devarim kalvahomer." Uma abanim alalu she'en behem da'at la'akpid al bizyonam. The steps don't see. Pelaim v'lo yedaber. They don't even have a pe. Amra Torah u'yevayesh behem tzorech lo tenag behem minhag bezayon. Since you use them, don't treat them minhag bezayon. Havercha, your friend, shu bedmut yotzercha. And he feels the embarrassment. U'makpid al bizyono al had kama v'kama. Don't stop at the steps. Understand the spirit behind the law. The spirit behind the law is, if the Torah is telling you not to mistreat a step because it does you a service, even though it doesn't know from embarrassment, it doesn't know from bezayon, it doesn't know from anything. But your friend, kavahomer, is not a step. Kavahomer, you have to be sensitive to his situation. I told you the story once. There's a fellow came for dinner, not to me, one Friday night. There's Shabbat. And they're making the Shalom Aleichem, Eshet Chayim. And the wine is on the table. Beautiful halot. Beautiful halot. But what? They weren't covered. They didn't put the cover on the halot. So the guy is about to make the kiddush. He sees the chali cup is not there. So he starts to yell at his wife, "Hey, where's the cover? I tell you every week, where's the cover? Put it the cover, bring it now." Ayit yelling, Ayit Fiona, and she's screaming it on. And she's getting all embarrassed. And guests, "Okay, honey, I'm going to bring it. Well, bring it. That's your job. You're supposed to have it ready over here. We're hungry, we're coming." Wow, the guy didn't let up. Oh, for the cover of the chali. So the rabbi was there. The rabbi told him after, "Can I ask you a question? You must be an expert on the halachot, because you're so careful that you want to cover for the chali. Why do you have to cover the chali? Where does this come from? Minjaye, where does this come from?" So he said, "I don't know. That's my father did it. My grandfather did it." "Why?" He says, "I'll tell you the reason." He says, "Really, the halacha is, if you're having wine and you're having bread, which comes first? The bread. Hamotzi always comes first. But on Friday night you have a catch 22. You can't eat the bread till you make kiddush. So now we have to make geffen. But the bread is the king. The bread is always used to going first. So you know what? We cover the bread so the bread doesn't see, so it won't get embarrassed. That's why you cover the bread so it doesn't get, so it doesn't see anything. So we make the gif in, it's coming, it can't hear, we put a big chali cover, can't see, can't hear. And then after we make the kiddush, Baruch Abba Lechem, Hamotzi Le'am Min Haaretz." So the guy, the rabbi says, for bread that has no feelings and no emotion and no reaction, the Torah says to cover it so it doesn't get embarrassed. For that halakha, you embarrassed your wife, who turned all colors, who got humiliated. You're defending the bread, and you embarrass the human. You're taking more consideration to the step. Oh, the step. Don't take big strides. We don't want it to see the pants. But when it comes to the human being, that's the spirit of the law. The kavod of the Adam. how much we have to go out of our way. Listen to another law. Oh, Perechav Bet Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Perechav Bet Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Chaf Bet Chaf Aleph. Look what it says here. Kol Almana V'Yatom Lo Ta'anun. How careful we have to be not to oppress widows and orphans. Kol Almana V'Yatom Lo Ta'anun. But only them. So Rashi says, Hu Adin Nechol Adam. You can't oppress anybody. Ela Shidibera Katuv Behove. But the Pasuk spoke in the present. Lifishem teshuvshe kawah. They're usually weak. The orphan doesn't have somebody to defend it. The orphan usually is down. Vedavar matsui la'anotam. The orphans and the widows are easy targets. Because they don't have any protection. So it's not like if you're going to bully around the kid, they'll call his father, and they're already going to be in trouble. But the Yatom, he doesn't have that advantage. So the Torah says, these people were chosen as an example. Not that it's the only people. You cannot bother anybody, and you cannot oppress any. But these people, it's more matsui. Therefore the Torah highlights them. So what do we learn from over here? The more weak a person is, the more downtrodden a person is, the more we have to go out of our way to give that person a respect. Usually, how does it work in life? Who am I going to give the time to? Who are we going to give our effort to? To the Hashubim. Somebody Hashub calls me. My wife says, oh, Mr. Hashub is on the phone. Huh? Mr. Hashub? Hello, Mr. Hashub? Mahina, it took me 8 seconds to get to the phone. But I was on the roof. I jumped down the chimney. I couldn't get to the phone fast enough. No, Hakam, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Please, I'm a shul, please. Thank you for returning my call. Thank you for calling me. Okay, beautiful. Now you're on the roof. Mr. Unhashuv calls. Mr. Miskeen calls. Mr. Miskeen, I'm sleeping. I'm not home. I'll call him back. Mr. Miskeen, I want to go Miskeen. The Torah's coming to tell you, Kol almana v'yatom, the worst a person's situation, that's the one that you have to go out of your way to give more the kavod to. We don't think like that. Conventional way of acting is to the people that are capable, that's the people we give the respect to the people that are important or influential, that's the ones that we bend over backwards for. But for the regular guy, what could I benefit from him? He's an annoyance, he's a pest. Miskeen, you know what? Go somewhere else. Torah says, be careful. There's no such thing as a Jew that's not important. There's no such thing as a Jew that doesn't have a value. And on the contrary, that's the one that you have to go out of your way. Listen to a midrash I found. No, you umman. The midrash over here, where is it? I'll tell you where it is. Masechet Simachot, Perek Het, Mishnah Het. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael gazru alehem malchut. Rabbi Yishmael and Rabban Shimon Gamliel, the Romans made a gezerah that they're going to be put to death, and that's what happened. Vayar Rabbi Yishmael boche. Rabbi Yishmael was crying. We think he's crying because he doesn't want to die by the Romans. That's not why he's crying. Amar lo Rashbag. So the Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, "Be'od shtei pesiot ata natun be'alkan shel tzaddikim v'ata boche." In a couple of minutes, you're going to be in Gan Eden. You're going to be sitting with the tzaddikim. You're going to be sitting with all the Ashuv people. What are you crying for? You have nothing to worry about, Rabbi Yishmael. The pain that's going to hurt you, it'll be over in 2 minutes. You'll be up there in the Gan Eden Elyon. Amar lo ani boche. Al she'anu neheragim Kishofche damim uchmehalele shabbatot. I'm not worried about the pain, but it bothers me. What did we do to deserve such a miserable death? What avon that we're getting a death penalty like somebody that's mehalel Shabbat? They're going to stone us to death. We're getting punished like somebody that murdered somebody. It bothers me. Why should Borei Olam bring us to such a death? Abar lo. Shema b'schuda ita yoshev. Maybe one day you were sitting having lunch. Or yashin. Or maybe you were even taking a rest. Uba'a elecha isha lish'ol al taharot shela. And a lady came to the house to ask a question. Nida. Ve'amar la shamash yashinu. And your shamosh told the lady, please could you come back, he's sleeping. V'torah amra, im'ane te'ane oto. Maybe she was a widow. Or maybe she wasn't a widow. But you're not allowed to torment anybody. And somebody that has a question, as long as they don't have an answer to their question, they're bothered. And maybe you delayed it and told them to come back a little later. And the Pasuk says, if that's what you did, v'harakti yitchem b'charif. Maybe you deserve this punishment.
Why, why, why?
Amar lo, different text. Shem miyamecha, maybe once in your life, ba'adam etzlecha ladin, somebody came for this with a she'ela, v'akavto, and you delayed him, ad shete shote koska, till you finish the coffee. You told him, come to wait in the hall, I'll be there in 2 minutes, I want to finish my ahweh. Vinuel sandalcha, until you put on your shoes. Otef talitcha, until you put on your talit. Ve'amra Torah im ane ta'ane oto. Echad anui merubeh, ve'had anui mu'ad. Doesn't matter. I thought the Torah meant, don't embarrass, don't humiliate him, don't commit hurtful words. The Ban Shimon Gamaliel is trying to console Rabbi Yishmael. He's trying to tell him, ah, no, must be one time you didn't answer the question, you didn't call the guy back immediately. You delayed, and therefore you caused unintentional tsar to... And what did the Bishmael say? Oh, mihamtani, oh, very good. Now I know why. Now you know why? What does it mean, kavod, kavod ha-biriyot? There was a great rabbi, maybe the greatest rabbi the last 1,000 years. None other than Nabi Moshe ben Maimon, Arabam. I am amazed every day that I study the Rambam. Such a brain, such a genius. One word in the Rambam, all the books and all the rabbis struggle to break their heads to understand one word in the Rambam, what he meant. Why did he say this word? How did he learn the sugya? Books and books have been written by the greatest brains to try to figure out Harambam. From the Kesef Mishneh, to the Magid Mishneh, to the Mishneh Lamelech, to the Hagaot Maimoniyot, and to the Achmelunil. Till today, in the yeshivot, the scholars spend their days working on Harambam. A man that was able to mifaresh the entire Torah from beginning to end. Mishneh Torah. One rabbi wrote a poem about the Rambam and said that the only way we can explain it is his mother must have been an angel. So if your mother's an angel, he's a malach. And if his mother wasn't an angel, we can't understand where this man came from. How is it possible that a human being could have such scholarship, not only in the Torah that he wrote, but in every other field as well? Harambam was a towering figure. We cannot quantify him. Min Moshe ad Moshe lo kam ki Moshe. Who would we dare put in the same sentence as Moshe Rabbeinu? from Moshe to Moshe, there's no Moshe in between. What do you think? If that statement made it through the cracks of Judaism, and it became a statement that is accepted, Kleisel is very, very stubborn when it comes to this. We don't let anybody start making quips and anecdotes and phrases just like that. What do you mean, Moshe Ab Moshe? What is it, Moshe? You compare it? Yes, yes, you could say that statement. Moshe Ab Moshe, Lokam Ke Moshe. There's Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's Moshe Bei Maimon. And there's nobody in between. Ad Kedekach. And the tradition is told when he finished the Mishneh Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu came to him in a dream. And told him, Chazak Baruch, you're giving God great Nahat Ruah, great pleasure. The philosophical works of Moreh Nevuchim, the books that he wrote on medicine, exceptional. The Rambam was also a doctor. We have letters from the Rambam talking about his daily schedule as a doctor. I'm going to read you just one of the letters so you see what does it mean a person that had kavod abiriyot, respect. I only gave you this introduction, but see how great the man was. Usually, by the secular world, great men are arrogant, are hoary, are muram, they're above. There was one time the Surgeon General of the United States, Dr. Koop, he came to Rav Moshe Feinstein's house, Alav Shalom, because Rav Moshe got a question about Siamese twins. And now they needed to split them. And it's a matter of life and death now. So he needed to understand the biology of it before he could give a ruling. So they brought in the Surgeon General of the United States, the doctor. So he came to the rabbi's humble east side apartment and he explained to him, they talked. When Dr. Koop leaves, he says, I've been on college campuses my whole life. I've spoken to professors and scientists and doctors. I've rubbed elbows with the greatest minds. In my life, I never saw genius and scholarship and humility all in one package. As great as the Hachamim were, the Anava, listen to Rambam. He's talking, Rambam's talking now. He's talking about his patients. He says, I would go into the waiting room to appease them. Because I know they were waiting for a long time. So he would go into the waiting room, say, you know, a few more minutes, everybody okay? And to say good words to them. And to greet them. That they should forgive me. Lamtin oti. That they have to wait. Ad kedesh ochal achilat alai. The Rambam says eventually he would have to eat, so he would break for a snack. Achilat alai, snack. But before he would break for the snack, he would go into the waiting room and say, "Please forgive me, Rabotai. I didn't eat all day. I'm going to take a few minutes to eat a little snack just so I can have some strength. Forgive me that I'm making you tirha." He says, this is the first time I ate in 24 hours. And then I would go out and give them their service. Write them prescriptions. And give them diagnosis. My hours were from early in the morning to late at night. V'lif amin be'emunat Torah. He says, I'm swearing on the Torah, so to speak. Ad sof shtei sha'ot min ha'layla. Which means I went into the deep into the night. Oyoter. Atzaper lahem. I would talk to the patients. Va'atzavem. And command them. Va'adaber imahem. And talk again. Va'ani shochev peragdan Meroba Ayefut. I was so tired that I couldn't even sleep in a regular position. I would just fall on my back, and the patients were still coming in, and the Rambam's lying on his back, and he's advising them, and he's guiding them. Meroba Ayefut, v'yikanes alayla. When the night came, v'ani b'tachlita hulcha. I was so weak, lo uchal ledaber. I wasn't even able to talk after. Such is Rambam, the doctor. Lehavdil, take the biggest doctor today. Tov shemerofim. Would he ever come out into the waiting room? Good morning, nice to see you all. Please forgive me for the wait. On the contrary, you have a secretary in front of him and another secretary. Please sit down, sir. The doctor will be with you soon. Everybody has to wait. And then the doctor in the middle will go out for lunch. You think he'll ask the patient, Jamishu, please, I'm a little hungry. I'm going to go out to eat. I have to answer to a patient. You're lucky you got an appointment. He had to wait 5 hours. You have to wait. That's the normal derech. You need me. I don't need you. Go to a different doctor. And wait. This is Harambam. I'm a doctor, but look what I'm an accomplished man throughout the world. He was the private doctor of the Sultan. Such a great personality. And who's coming to the clinic? Bourgeoisie, common people. I'm sure he didn't even charge them. He did it as a chesed. And I'm so tired, I'm lying on my back and the patients are still coming in and I'm giving them the advice what they should do of it. Such a humility of a man, that as great as he was, that's how much respect he had for his fellow human being. This is what we learn from our Torah over here. The kavod of the Bnei Adam. If the Torah expects us to be respectful to a dog, the Torah expects us to be respectful to a step. The Torah expects us to be respectful to an Eved Evri. The Torah expects us to marry the Shifa or give her the Shituch Ta'asam. The Torah is concerned that we don't eat milk and meat because it's a cruelty of some sort. It'll lead to bad nature in us. All these laws, not to oppress the downtrodden, to keep somebody waiting, to treat Mr. Hashuv and Mr. Miskin equal. This is the Torah. Now apply this, I'm talking to myself now, to situations that we didn't talk about tonight. Now you know the level of Hakarat HaTov, gratitude. Now apply it in your life. And don't be a stickler with her, but don't say it. It says it in the Dinim. That's why Rabbeinu Yonah says, Evu Metunim Badin, study the Dinim good. Then you'll get to know exactly who Borei Olam is. God is even kind to the criminal, the ganav. V'rahamav al kol ma'asav ketiv. The tzinim elokim. There was one rabbi, the Saba from Slobodka. He would go to a doctor. The doctor would say, stick out your tongue. He said, I can't. He said, why? You're an image of God. How can I stick? I'm a doctor. I need this. No, I can't. I think. He held, how can I stick out my tongue to another human being? But I need you to stick it out so I can do it a different way. And there's no other way. There's no other way. You understand what we're talking? The kavod of the Bnei Adam. That's, by the way, that's our religion. The rituals are very important, don't get me wrong. You have to be a 613 Jew, a Tariag Jew. But when the ritual becomes more important than the person, then already we have a wrong recipe. When the person's respect becomes secondary, and we're worried about more the chali cover, then already we have a wrong prescription. The dignity of the human being always supersedes. That means even if the Kohen Gadol is on his way to serve on Yom Kippur, and he sees a dead person on the street, forget about Kippur. forget about Kodesh Kodashim, forget about Kaparat Avonot, bury the dead. The person comes before the ritual. But to what a degree? That's what it means, Va'asita Yashar Ba'atov. That's why God gave these at Sinai. With all the drama and the lightning and the thunder, He told them, don't be cruel to the animals. Don't mistreat the widows. Don't be unfair to the orphans. Klai Yisrael heard this at Sinai. It made an effect on them. This is what does it mean, Da'at Elohim. That's what it means to know God's affiliation, God's way of thinking. You learn His way of thinking from delving into the mitzvot. Evu metunim bedin. Study the dinim one at a time, like a diamond. Rub it, massage it, eat it, digest it. So you understand exactly the life. Not every devri, next. Dinim. No. Evu metunim bedin. Then Be'ezrat Hashem, Borei Olam will give us the zechut to understand all the dinim in the proper light. And more important, to inculcate it. To integrate it into our lifestyles, and members of the Shem will bring us closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Abraham Yehudah.